You're listening to Very Thin Ice on WNBC. I'm Evan Rosenberg.
I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
And this one's for the ladies. Hi, you're listening to WNBC. This is Very Thin Ice. I'm Evan Rosenberg.
I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
And tonight is our very special holiday episode.
That's right. Tonight is, for those of you who do not know, the first night of Hanukkah.
Yes, at about 4:28 tonight, the sun sets, and because we Jews are a people with strange and interesting customs, our days actually start at night, at sundown. And as such, the first day of Hanukkah begins tonight at sundown.
Yeah, we've got a whole different calendar. I mean, how cool is that?
Right. Oh, it's real cool.
Yeah. Well, speaking of real cool, it is positively frigid outside.
Oh, it sure is. So, baby, it's cold outside.
It's nice to be inside this cozy booth.
It is.
Instead of out there braving the elements.
Yes, you can get your hand out from around me, though. Like that's unnecessary.
Okay, I thought you liked it.
No, I didn't. So as I said, today is our very special, holiday special. So, we wanted to talk a bit first about what exactly are the holidays?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a bit ambiguous.
Oh, it's incredibly ambiguous. I mean, people say, oh, it's the holiday season, but there's holidays all throughout the year.
That's true. Every season has holidays. I mean,
yes, they're all holiday seasons.
So what is it about this season?
Well, it's Christmas, obviously. I mean, there's no denying that Christmas is the centerpiece. Christmas, when somebody says happy holidays, what they mean is happy Christmas.
Yeah. Which we can get into that whole thing later.
But, yes, we may not. We may never get out of that. But, Christmas is absolutely the centerpiece, but where does it start? Where does it end? I feel like most people want to include New Year's in there.
New Year's is included, and I generally say it starts basically Thanksgiving.
Well, before we get to, where it starts, also included in there generally, is Hanukkah and Kwanzaa. Hanukkah and Kwanzaa, I don't even know, if they're important enough to be included. It's more like just they're around that time. Hanukkah generally falls, November, December, and Kwanzaa was, created specifically to come right at Christmas time.
Yeah.
So, those generally get included. Some people like to include Ramadan as well, even though Ramadan can be pretty much any time of year.
Yeah, sure. And Ramadan lasts a lot longer.
Right. Because the Jewish calendar that we mentioned earlier is a lunar calendar, but there's some correction there to keep holidays in certain seasons. I believe that the Islamic calendar is also...
Would you like to introduce yourself, Evan?
Yes, I would love to introduce myself, Justin. Okay.
Apparently that
live
was
radio, people. Live
Apparently
radio.
That was still playing.
Yes. As I was saying, I believe the Islamic calendar is also lunar, but without the sort of corrections built in to keep holidays in the same season, so Ramadan can be at various times of year.
Yeah. But I say generally anything that falls within the Thanksgiving, Christmas, sphere of...
Right. A lot of people would include Thanksgiving in there, and I think that's kind of fair. Thanksgiving's about a month before Christmas.
Oh, I mean, I think it absolutely counts. I mean, that's really the kickoff,
Well, commercially it is, at least. That's when the day after is Black Friday.
I mean, if you look at, you look at, like, Walmart, Target now, they're putting out Christmas stuff as early as right after Halloween.
So. Yeah, well, and that's exactly it. Some people are complaining that it's been creeping back, now it really starts at Halloween, which, again, it's just a month before Thanksgiving, so.
Yeah.
If you want to pay attention to Jewish holidays, generally a couple weeks before Halloween, you got the Jewish New Year. So maybe the holiday season is starting, in the month of Tishrei.
Well, yeah, for us,
which is generally around September, October. Mm-hmm. And you got, Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. You've got Yom Kippur, the Jewish Day of Atonement. You've got, Sukkot, the Jewish festival of sitting in a booth in your backyard because you're too good to go into your own house.
Yeah.
You got Simchas Torah, the day that you're supposed to be happy about the Torah.
I've always been of the opinion that the New Year in general for everyone should just start at September anyways, because really, what real difference is there between, the day before, That season, it's right in the middle of,
right. Well,
winter.
What gets confusing is that technically the Jewish calendar has four New Years.
Well.
But.
For us.
We don't need to get into that.
No, we don't need a whole, a whole argument or a whole discussion on that.
Right, we'll save that for the Talmudic episode.
Yeah, our very special Talmudic.
Very special Talmudic episode.
But, you know, I mean, September, everyone's going back to school. You know, people are coming off summer. The leaves are starting to change. I mean,
it's the beginning of the school year.
Yeah. And it might as well, but it's, you know, it should just really just be the new year for everyone,
right.
I think.
You know, I'll go with that. Okay, so we can agree that the holiday season starts, you know, at the beginning of the school year. First day of school is the first day of the holiday season.
Right, that's the kickoff.
So let's talk about when it ends, though. I mean, does it end with New Year's? Does it end with the day after New Year's? I mean, then you got, you know, January stuff. And, you know, I mean, some people seem to keep it going to, like, you know, Valentine's Day in February.
Oh, yeah, people keep their Christmas decorations out for, you know.
Oh, well, if you judge it by how long they keep the decorations out for, then it goes
it's
on forever.
It's going all year for some people.
I'm saying, like, you know, is, I mean, so do you think it's fair to extend it to Valentine's Day? The holiday season to Valentine's Day?
I don't know. I mean, January is a pretty dead month, so I think you can pretty much argue that within a few days of...
Yeah, but, I mean, it's exactly. You need to have something to look forward to.
But yeah. I guess if you... you could go up to Valentine's, but then, I mean, within a, you know... A
well,
month
I was
so
going to say, the problem, if you stop at Valentine's Day, though, it seems a little racist.
Oh.
Because February is Black History Month, what are you saying? Oh, we only need half of Black History Month? I think you got to include it at all.
Yeah, and for that matter, why did they give the shortest month to be Black History Month, huh?
Well, you know.
Just saying, man.
Yeah, true. True
like,
that.
Well, we can't waste a good month.
Exactly. So I think it's month. Only fair, since they did get the shortest month, to make it part of the holiday season.
Okay. In that case, yeah, we're heading into...
But are we stopping there is the question. I mean, then you got St. Patrick's Day coming up.
Yeah, and then right after that, you know, we've got Passover is generally a little bit...
Well, it's around the same time.
Around the same time as Easter.
Mm-hmm.
There's only about a month between that.
Okay, so let's say we go to Passover Easter time. I mean, I think that's valid. Then we got the Omer, which is, you know, Jews have a 49-day period between Passover and the holiday of Shavuot, which celebrates the reception of the Bible on top of a mountain in the middle of a desert.
Which, you know,
by a bunch of homeless Jews.
Pretty important holiday.
But so you've got that period that's connected to Passover. You can't just drop, you know, in the middle of the Omer. So we've got to keep going all the way to Shavuot.
Yeah. Where does that put us in the year, on the calendar?
That puts us in the middle of the summer, I think.
So, yeah. Really, and then, you know, summer's pretty light as far as holidays goes, but you still got...
Well, but if you want to go by the British definition of holiday, it's the summer holidays.
That's true. Summer vacation, summer holidays.
So really, I think you got to go right up until the end of summer vacation, right to the first day of school.
Yeah.
So we've got it settled. The holiday season goes from the first day of school until the first day of school?
Yep.
Okay, it is a 366-day period.
That's correct.
Sounds good to me.
And that's why we are gearing up for it.
Yeah, we've been enjoying this holiday season.
Yeah, I feel like every holiday season we're just, you know.
Yeah, it gets better and better.
Absolutely.
It's Christmas time, and there's no need to be afraid.
It's Christmas time, we let in light and we ban all shade.
In our world of plenty, we can spread a smile of joy.
Throw your arms around the world at Christmas time.
But say a prayer.
It's hard, but when you're having fun,
there's a world outside your window,
and it's a world of
dread and fear.
And there won't be snow in Africa this Christmas time.
greatest gift they'll get this year is life.
These fools are raising glasses while I'm out there, yo, tapping asses. Be the word.
Here's to them underneath that burning sun.
Raise your glass all the way up. Raise your motherfucking cup.
Do they know it's Christmas time at all?
Christmas tree vexes my mind. Do they know it's Christmas time? Why do they refuse to tell us? Are they haters? Are they jealous? Maybe we should go and see them. Bet they'll talk after some beatings, then they'll stop keeping it secret. Peace, love, food, Jesus.
Feed the world.
Feed the world, feed the world, feed the world, feed the world.
Feed the world.
Feed the world, feed the world, come on.
This is Tom Lennon as David Bowie. It's Christmas 2009, and there are more starving folk on our planet than at any other time. Won't you do something, however small, for them this Christmas? And Mick Jagger is blowing me right now, as played by Ed Helms.
Hello, Merry Christmas then, isn't it?
Feed the world. Let them know it's Christmas time again.
All right, that was Do They Know It's Christmas by the Comedy Death Ray Xmas Nativity Choir, featuring Paul F. Tompkins, R. Romance, Tig Notaro, Rob Hubel, Patton Oswalt, Mike Furman, Jimmy Pardo, Brian Posehn and Scott Aukerman, Garfunkel and Oates, Amy Mann, Chris Hardwick, Paul Scheer, and June Diane Raphael, Doug Benson, Mary Lynn Ricecub, Nick Thune, Weird Al Yankovic, Cracked Out, Dragon Boy Suede, Natasha Leggero, Thomas Lennon, and Ed Helms.
Man, that's a veritable who's who of comedy right there.
Yeah, if you want to see, there's a video associated with that. If you want to see it, go ahead and Google for Comedy Death Ray, Do They Know It's Christmas. It's also, that song is available on an album that you can receive by purchasing the Comedy Death Ray 2010 calendar. I know that those were in limited supply, so they may, you know, not have them anymore, but, you know, last I checked, at least, they still had supply. Anyway, we've got a very special segment here on Very Thin Ice, because as we mentioned a moment ago, tonight is the first night of Hanukkah, so we're actually going to be doing a on-air candle lighting with my parents. Let me just get them on the air here.
This is some groundbreaking radio here.
Okay, so we've got you on the line here to light the candles with us, is that correct?
That's right, that's right, that's very correct.
Okay, so do you want to tell the listeners a bit about what it is that you're doing, since they can't see?
Okay, I'm staring at your mother, who has a candle in her left hand, the shamus. It's white, and then there's a blue one in the Hanukkah, and she's getting ready to light the blue one with the white one.
Okay.
And then do you want us to sing the prayer first?
Absolutely.
Or light first?
Well, I believe the way that it's done on the first night, and I think this is according to Rabbi Hillel, you know, who lived 2,000 years ago, pretty sure you sing the first prayer first and then light while singing the second prayer. Then, since it's the first night, you sing the third prayer afterwards.
Third prayer? Oh, that's right, first night. Okay,
right.
So you're gonna sing the prayer with us, right?
Yeah, and here works, but I promise Justin is singing as well.
Okay,
right,
sounds
there.
Good.
Baruch Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam.
Asher kinshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lahadlik ner shel Hanukkah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam she'asa nisim lavoteinu bayamim ha'ahem lazman hazeh.
Okay, so we light now.
Okay.
And there she goes. She's lighting the candle.
Okay.
And then the little secret there is she's lighting the bottom of the shamas so that it'll stay in the Hanukkah.
Right, and then there's the third prayer, correct?
The third prayer tonight, which is so that it'll stay in the Hanukkah.
Right, and then there's the third prayer, correct?
The third prayer tonight, which is my favorite prayer of all of them.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what this prayer is before we sing it?
Oh, boy.
Well, it's the prayer that basically thanks God or whatever being you believe in. Thanks for letting us live this long, up to today.
What is this prayer generally called?
Shehekayanu.
That's correct. Let's go for it.
All right. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, Shehekayanu v'kiyamanu v'higyanu lazman hazeh. Evan, I didn't tell you this condition, but since we've already done our part, on your part, you and Justin, you have to promise not to play Adam Sandler's song. Please.
How do you feel about a cover?
Well, if it's let's see, what's
don't give it away. I was kind of saying this is a
well,
for the
end. Cover isn't a whole lot better, but I can. Since I've only heard it once this season so far, or once in my life, then I think I can handle the cover.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, Evan. Have a great show, and we'll see you when you get home.
All right. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah to you. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, that was really cool, actually.
Yeah, I was wasn't sure how that was going to work out, but I think that worked pretty well.
And I should mention, actually, if you're on campus right now, if you're on the UMBC campus, over at the Interfaith Center on campus, Hillel is doing their own candle lighting.
The Interfaith Center, also known as the door that looks like a supply closet next to Judicial Services. It's the one that looks incredibly creepy.
Yeah, so if you want to go get engaged in some Hanukkah festivities, just head to that creepy trailer.
Yes, head to the creepy trailer for Hanukkah. Creepy Hanukkah trailer.
No, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that was a lot of fun.
Groundbreaking moment in radio, I think.
Oh, yeah. I'm willing to state that was the first time that candles have ever been lit on air.
As far as I know.
I'm probably a liar, but I'm willing to state it.
You know what? I'll stand by you. We'll be liars together. So.
All right. You know what? I think we got a song about candle lighting coming up.
Fantastic. Let's play it.
Muchas fiestas por favor. scandalica, se scandalica, siete candalica, ocho candalica, sparami.
And we're back. That was Ocho Candelicas featuring Yasmin Levy off of the album Aaron Baron Cohen Presents Songs in the Key of Hanukkah. It's a Hanukkah album that was put out last year by Sacha Baron Cohen's brother. You may know Sacha Baron Cohen from Borat and Bruno and Ali G. So his brother, who actually did a lot of the music for Borat, if you've listened to the soundtrack of Borat, put out a Hanukkah album last year. It was real good. I like that song, Ocho Candelicas. It's actually in the language Ladino, which is a language spoken by some Sephardic Jews. It kind of merges Spanish and Hebrew.
Yeah, those were some real tight beats, too.
Yes.
For those who don't know the different ethnicities of Judaism, what does Sephardic mean, Evan?
It means of the Sephard.
Okay.
Yes. All right, so it is time now for Tenuous Grasp.
All right.
Today's tenuous grasp topic is, you know, let me back up a step. As we know, you know, because we all watch Glenn Beck and O'Reilly, there's a war on Christmas.
Pretty serious stuff.
But I don't want to talk about the war on Christmas. What I want to talk about today is what other holidays should there be wars on?
Okay.
So today's tenuous grasp topic is what other holidays should there be wars on? If you want to call in and chime in on this issue, the number is 410-455-2656. Or if only Glenn Beck or Bill O'Reilly want to call in to talk about the war on Christmas, they're welcome to as well at that number again, 410-455-2656. Let me just repeat, I don't want to hear about the war on Christmas from anyone other than Bill O'Reilly or Glenn Beck, though. Anybody else calling in, pick a different holiday.
And my caveat to Bill O'Reilly and Glenn Beck, keep it brief.
We don't
want you hijacking our show.
Look, we'll cut their mic if we have to.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and start it out.
Go
Boxing
for it.
Day.
Oh, absolutely. The war on boxing. boxing, I mean, it's blood sport. You know, there should not be a day to celebrate it.
Yeah. I mean, what's next? I mean, UFC Day and,
Hockey Day.
TNA Day.
I think they actually have Hockey Day in Canada, but that's exactly every the
point. Day. Well, Evan, every day is Hockey Day in Canada.
Well, true, because what else do they have?
Boxing Day is that day of the year when they combine, where they just take out the hockey part and just leave the brutal beating of each other.
Absolutely. I'm thinking Arbor Day.
Arbor Day?
Arbor Day. I mean, you already got Earth Day. What? You know, the entire Earth has a day. Why do you need a day just for the trees? The trees are part of the Earth.
Those uppity trees.
Get with the program, Arbor Day.
Yeah. Are people still doing things for Arbor Day?
I don't know. Well, if they're not, then that means I'm winning.
All right. War successfully being waged. I thought...
I think I can declare mission accomplished against Arbor Day.
We're going to go and put up the mission accomplished banner right here
I'm
in the studio.
I'm changing into my flight suit right now.
Good work. Yeah, you've done a great deed this day.
Yes.
And future generations will remember you. They won't remember Arbor Day because you've successfully wiped it out.
Exactly. They'll remember me. They won't know what they remember me for, and that's the point.
Only if they have if this radio show right now is the only surviving artifact of our generation.
Right. Because we're totally Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
You know, Wild Stallions.
I wish we were.
Yeah.
We're going to be what's another type of horse?
I don't know.
The spinoff from Wild Stallions.
I don't know. What Clydesdale. Feral Clydesdales.
Feral Clydesdales. We're going to be the Feral Clydesdales.
Yes.
And we're going to save the... Well, since...
We could just be Wild Stallions spelled correctly.
That's true. That would be real... metal of us.
Yeah. So, okay. What other holidays, though? What other holidays should we wage war on here?
Okay, we got Boxing Day. We got Arbor Day. I'm thinking let's wage war on the solstices. Both solstices. We're going to prong attack.
Equinoxes are okay, or what?
It's going to be the... I think...
Is this an equinox versus solstice battle?
Yeah, you got it. Okay. We're going to pit equinoxes and solstices against each other and see who comes out on top as the...
So are we rooting for one here? Because I kind of feel like I'd rather sit back and see which one wins. You know, like I don't mind which one wins, but I only want there to be one victor.
No, I agree with that. I'm not particularly concerned with who wins either.
Yeah. It's not that I've got, you know, I'm not betting on either side.
We can make that a betting game if you want. We can...
Okay, so let's bet on it.
All right. I'll put 20 down on equinoxes.
I'll put 30 down on solstices.
All right. See your 30. And,
you're going to see it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And raise you 15.
Raise me 15, so we're talking about 45 here.
We're talking about 45.
Talking about 45. You know what? I'm all in.
All right. You're all in? I'm all in, too.
Okay.
So, guess we just wait and see now.
Yes.
It's a lot of money to just be kind of sitting out there.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll wait till a little further on in the war.
Okay.
And then place the bets.
Oh, really?
Well, so you know, it doesn't work.
You're saying you want to wait to see who's winning and then place your bet? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, basically.
All bets are off, man. You know, all bets are off.
All bets are off.
All bets are off.
All right. In that case, let's come up with another holiday here. There's so many.
Alien Visitation Day. You know, the day for aliens to show up and visit Earth. I mean, we don't need that.
We're just going to turn that into Wage War on Visiting Aliens Day.
Well, that was the plan, but the whole point is why do we need just a day for that? I mean, that should be every day.
That's true, just like, you know, Hockey Day in Canada.
Yeah. It's like the American Hockey Day.
Yeah.
Is you know, attack friendly aliens who just came to say hi.
Right. Are we talking about space aliens or, you know?
Yes, space aliens.
Okay. Just making sure.
Yes.
Because I'm sure there are plenty of Americans who would,
well,
you know.
Like I said, if Bill O'Reilly or Glenn Beck want to call in, the number is 410-455-2656.
Okay, so do we need where do we stand on Kwanzaa? I think.
Where do we stand on Kwanzaa? I would feel bad waging war on Kwanzaa.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, I don't want to wage war on it because it's like kicking kicking someone while they're down.
Right.
I think Kwanzaa is really just waging war on itself.
I think.
But we do need to cut the chaff so to speak, from this holiday season.
Yes.
Because we just got too many things going on.
Yeah. Well, I think we get rid of Arbor Day, we get rid of Boxing Day, you know, we get rid of, you know, either the solstices or the equinoxes.
Or the equinoxes, depending, you know.
You know, we get rid of, you know, the Alien Visitation Day / Wage War on Visiting Aliens Day. And, you know, Kwanzaa's going to get rid of itself, and I think we're doing pretty good there.
Do we really need both New Year's and Chinese New Year's?
I think we do.
I don't know. I mean,
because on New Year's, you can't combine New Year's and Chinese New Year's, because where else are you going to go out to eat on New Year's other than a Chinese restaurant? And if it's also Chinese New Year's, then that's going to be closed.
They're going to be out at American restaurants.
Right. I think keeping all the separate Chinese holidays is fine, so that we got Chinese restaurants open on other holidays.
Well, that's why I'm sticking by my idea from before of just combining all New Year's and having New Year's in September.
Yeah, but then where are you going to go to eat then?
Mickey D's is always open.
No, it's not.
It'll be the traditional... Really?
No.
They actually close?
Sometimes, yeah.
On
some holidays, some of them
I thought they were like hospitals. They had to stay open.
No. There's no law. Yet.
Well, you know, I'm not writing legislation or anything, but if I were...
Well, I am.
You are?
Yes.
Okay, what's your first piece of legislation?
Well, my first piece of legislation is that we should move to a song.
Okay.
Do I have a second?
I second that.
All right.
With a vengeance.
It's unanimous.
Motion is passed. Bill becomes a law.
And that's the way America works.
Von dem raschen Kindstoß gerimmert, steht sich ein Chattkele allein auf ein Ort, ein alter Zigeiner wohnt dort. Dort werden sich Tänner, sie sitzen, wo es weinen. Wenn auf sein Fiddle vergeht sich der alte Zigeuner mit sein ganzen Feier und Brenn, nur wie ein Zigeuner. Zigeuner Melodie ist so schön, hält ihr es vergisst, ihr ist nicht mehr, weil sie ist warm, halsig, voll mit Kreis. Oh, Mekka, sie gibt der Liebe und der Menschheit, ja, ihr ist noch einmal, gibt es kein Ruhe, es war geschmeichte Melodie. Wenn ihr hört, es dacht sich, echt, es ist und ihr hört den Grund, kein Begriff, wie es rührt und wenn ich schon mit mir. Von jeder Zeit, sie fühlt auch an mit Lust und Freilichkeit, und er halten will der Rebbe Gott Adi, die Klangen von der Melodie. Oh, ich will am von der Weißen mit dem Grund, nur das an gar nicht verstehen. Mehr Glanz an Beis, Kinder tanzen und Herren reklacht in den Schnee. Ich will am Fuhr weißen Nippel, ich bin noch jener Winterfeld. Sei gewischt und glücklich und fein, und Eieren Tulpeg bei sein Arnder. Zigeuner spielt zu, sein Lied im Herzen gibt er Brief. Fuh,
Zijn viel der kwaad, der werd een schans verlaat. Den boel is kochten er zie, zijn viel den beugen er zie. Nimmt in de himmel in schweben, es grüßt sich noch zum Leben, das Leben wird dann er sie hier. Ja, der Herz, ein kleiner Spiel zu, sein Lidl im Herzen gibt er Brie. Pfuh, sein Fiedel der Klang, der wird deine Schamis verlangen. Ein Blut, es kocht in der See, sein Fiedel dem Beugen er zieht. Nimmt in die Himmel in Schweben, es grüßt sich nur zum Leben, was Leben wäre, dann er sei hin. Das ist der alte Zigeuner.
All right, that was Mandy Patinkin off of his album Mama Luschen with the song Der Alter Zigeuner, which means the old gypsy fiddler, and it also includes within it a Yiddish cover of White Christmas, which, you know, as you may or may not know, was written by a Jew, Irving Berlin.
That's correct, but I don't know if you got the memo, Evan, but on this show, we speak English.
Oh.
We're in America right now.
You know what? I apologize. Won't happen again.
Okay. Did you get the memo, though? Did you?
No, I didn't get the memo. That's why I wasn't speaking English. If I got the memo, I would have been speaking English.
I was going around stapling it to people's foreheads. Did I miss you?
Yeah, you did.
All right, next time.
All right.
I'll get you next time, Gadget.
Okay.
Moving on from that. You know,
right. Moving on.
I think it's time to talk about. We've done the candle lighting,
right?
But it's time to talk about some of our other traditions.
Sure.
Particularly, sure.
Just what it's like growing up. You know, the holidays growing up, because people always talk about the holiday season is for children. You know, and so what is it like as children?
Yeah, I mean the holidays are a pivotal, you know, moment in any
right.
In any child's life.
You and I, Justin, we are both Jewish, so we both did celebrate Hanukkah growing up, but we may have even celebrated in, you know, sort of different ways. I mean, I know that I, you know, had a, you know, sort of parochial school background. I went to a, you know, private Jewish day school, you know, whereas you were in public school.
So that's correct.
I spent a couple years in public school, but, you know, it wasn't the majority of my experience growing up.
Yeah. Well, I especially want to talk about your, you know, in elementary school. So were you, when were you in your Jewish day school?
It's easier to explain what I wasn't. Kindergarten, fourth, and fifth grade I spent in public school. The rest of the time I was in Jewish day school.
Okay. So, all right. So, about the same time. So, we did have pretty divergent experiences there, I'm guessing.
Right.
Being that not only did I, you know, go to a public school, I was literally the only Jewish person, full Jewish person, in my high school.
Right.
So The experience when you're, you know, when you're that much of a, you know, when you stand out like that is, you know, it can be a little daunting to a 5 or 6 year old kid.
Sure.
So eventually it got to the point where I was so kind of flustered every year by people, you know, constantly asking me, why don't you celebrate Christmas? So what we did was my mom and me, we decided that we were going to do a little education for them, little schooling.
Okay.
Of my fellow classmates on Hanukkah and a little bit on Judaism altogether. We had to, you know, play that line a little close because, you know, it is a public school. But basically she would come in, she would make her delicious, you know, homemade latkes.
Okay.
Bring in the menorah, bring in the dreidels, bring in all that good stuff, the gelt. And basically just the two of us would get up. The teacher would give us, you know, an hour or so out of the day, get up and explain to the class what Hanukkah was all about, what it was like not celebrating Christmas.
Okay.
Because I think that's the...
must be a weird question to get, you know. What's it like to not do something that you've never done so you don't really know?
Right. But the thing is, even there were a lot of people who were just like, you know, I don't understand how you could not celebrate Christmas just because it was so foreign to them having someone who wasn't Christian in my school, because it was 99.99% Christian, but also people who
It's a fairly large school.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a crowded school. 10,000 students? 99.99? Yeah, that's 10,000 students, and you as the one Jew.
Yeah, the hallways were pretty crowded. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
That's why we had, like, 30 different lunch shifts. But it's also not just people asking me that because the idea of having a Jew in their school was, foreign to them. It was also people who just, even though they knew I was Jewish, just the idea that anyone wouldn't celebrate Christmas was kind of a strange thing to them. And I guess to some people even now, because I know there are Jews out there who do celebrate Christmas. My family, you know, we're not even the most religious family, but we stick by our convictions.
Right. What? We've always celebrated, you know, Hanukkah very traditionally in my family.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get into that a bit more later in the show. But you know, I guess one of the things that we've always done as well, though, is the way that my family celebrates Christmas is also very traditionally Jewish. You know, we go out, we see a movie, and we get some Chinese food.
Oh yeah.
You know, which is the traditional Jewish way of celebrating Christmas.
Yeah, that's American Jewry right there.
Yep. And you go into the Chinese restaurant, and they wish you a Merry Christmas, even though they don't celebrate it and you don't celebrate it.
Yeah.
And it's that wonderful little moment of acknowledgement.
That's multicultural America at its finest right there.
Two peoples who are both minorities wishing each other, you know, a happy version of what the majority is celebrating.
And yet they are just neither carrying of them on like a... The thing is, though, my family's actually started a trend towards having sort of a Christmas celebration. We don't celebrate Christmas. We're still, you know, there's a line that we're not going to cross, which is actually having a tree, actually saying Merry Christmas to each other. But my mom just loves the Christmas season. She loves driving around looking at Christmas lights.
Well, growing up, I mean, we always looked at lights, but there's nothing... You know, the line for my family, I guess, is that there's nothing special about the 25th.
Yeah.
You know, the 25th is just, you know, 3 days before my dad's birthday.
Yeah, and the day right after my birthday.
Right. And 4 days before my brother's birthday.
Yeah. There are a lot of... I've noticed...
14 days after my other brother's birthday.
There are a lot of December birthdays.
Yeah.
I mean, mine's the 24th. Lena's is the week before that, the 17th.
Mm-hmm.
Just my friend Collins is the 31st. There's just a ton of December birthdays.
It's like, you know, 12th of all people or something.
Yeah, and people are always like, "Oh, that must really suck having your birthday on Christmas Eve." I'm like, "Why is that?" Like,
I have to eat Chinese food the next day.
Yeah, because you know, we actually well, it must mean you get less gifts. It means, I say no. It means unlike my brothers, I actually get a gift on Christmas.
Well, let me tell you a bit about, you know, growing up, you know, Jewish.
Sure.
Growing up extra Jewish, you know. Really, my exposure to Christmas, you know, didn't come from, you know, my peers so much as just TV and stuff. You know, the idea of Santa just seemed like this silly thing that other people do. You know, I guess it's the way that people look on foreign cultures. That's how I always kind of looked on Christmas, you know. Because, I mean, there was never even a question, you know, from other people. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'll ask you about this. You know, clearly you never believed in Santa Claus, right?
No.
Okay. Did you ever have instances, you know, when you were like 6 or 7 years old and your peers did believe in Santa Claus, of getting into fights about that or anything?
Oh, God, yes.
Okay. Because this is something I missed out on. So go ahead and talk about that.
Oh, I mean, there's kind of like, to me, it was funny.
Right.
You know, coming in and all the kids are talking about, you know, Santa Claus. And I'm like, in Hanukkah, there's no like equivalent, you know, magical being.
Hanukkah Harry is not an actual thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've had people ask me before, you know, well, don't you have Hanukkah Harry? No, that was made up by comedians. I want to say Saturday Night Live might have started that. They may not have, but it was some TV show started that, you know, some sketch show, I believe, started that as a joke because it's funny.
Yeah, I was going to ask. I've always wondered where the Hanukkah Harry thing came from.
That's how absurd that. You know, how absurd is Santa Claus? Well, make up that thing for another holiday and see.
I mean, yeah, I mean, they've also got, you know, the Easter Bunny, which I got to say also in that regard,
Bunny, I know nothing about.
I've always been so confused about Easter because unlike Christmas, you don't get quite as much of the story behind it. Like, even if you don't celebrate Christmas, everyone knows what Christmas is about.
Right.
And most people still know what Easter is about, but it's not quite as the story itself, the actual religious aspect of it, isn't as tied in. That's debatable, but my point is, I was always like, so Easter is the day that the Easter Bunny rose from the grave to deliver baskets of chocolate to kids. So, because I heard something about there's a resurrection, and there's something about an Easter Bunny. So I assumed it was the day that the Easter Bunny was getting resurrected.
I wish I could remember which comedian you're ripping off right there so I could give him proper credit.
I don't know. If I'm unwittingly ripping off some committee.
But yeah, getting back to Christmas, you know. So
great minds think alike.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes not so great minds. getting back to Christmas. There really wasn't much there for me that, you know, other than what was on TV, et cetera. You know, I mean, everybody I knew celebrated Hanukkah. And,
I knew no one.
Yeah, but, so, you know, I did spend a couple years in public school. One of the things that got to me, you know, going to a Jewish school, we, you know, really, you know, it was more than just like your Sunday school education about a holiday. We really learned the ins and outs of the holiday, the history behind it and all that. I knew, you know, the main story of Hanukkah, just to go through it briefly, you had a big war between the Jews and the Syrian Greeks. During that war, the temples had sort of been desecrated, the temples and, you know, shrines, any sort of holy place had been, you know, desecrated and destroyed by the Greeks.
Right.
They converted, you know, the main temple, you know, the big, you know, holy temple into a temple, I believe, for Zeus.
Yeah. And then they had, like, animals running through it.
They
and
dragged pigs through it.
You know, and
because
like,
they're unclean and all that stuff. I mean, it was really desecrated. The word Hanukkah itself means rededication.
Right, right.
Hanukkah means rededication. So Hanukkah was, you had this military victory where a very small, you know, Jewish army defeated, you know, this entire Syrian Greek army. You know, then there's also this story about a miracle where there was only one day's worth of oil, but it lasts 8 days, which is how long it took from oil to be gotten.
Yeah,
what I make of it is generally that story, that miracle, may have been a story that the rabbis just kind of tacked in there so that people didn't sit around celebrating a military victory, because there's a concept in Judaism, you know what, even if you won, you kind of killed other people, that's not so great.
Yeah, well, I also remember about the oil thing. I think I remember in Hebrew school them telling me that the thing about the oil wasn't that it was the only container of oil left. It was the only container of oil left that was still, like, that they
right.
still knew, like, the seal hadn't been broken.
Well, sure,
and, like,
sure.
So which I thought was interesting.
It makes it the only container left,
yes.
Because the other ones didn't count.
Right, which I thought was interesting fact. You know?
Right. But so the word Hanukkah means rededication. Flash forward to when I was in fifth grade, at a elementary school, public elementary school. And it's, you know, the Christmas or winter, you know, concert, whatever they want to call
yeah.
it. And which means that it's a bunch of Christmas songs with one Kwanzaa song and one Hanukkah song thrown in.
Yeah.
The Hanukkah song they chose that year was a little ditty called Hanukkah Means Freedom. And it drove me crazy because Hanukkah does not mean freedom. Hanukkah means rededication. But that's boring to a bunch of, you know, elementary school kids. They took a creative liberty because, hey, there's no Jews there to actually notice.
Yeah, I mean, well, freedom's an easier concept to grasp when you're, you know, 10 years old or whatever, because just picture the flag or whatever, or a soaring eagle. Rededication, you can't really...
Yeah. So what are you doing this Christmas?
This Christmas, like, well, as I was saying, my family's been trending more and more towards sort of having a Christmas style. We actually have, like, we'll actually have a Christmas dinner. I mean, we don't call it a Christmas dinner, but we do have a big dinner on Christmas Day.
Chinese food, though, right?
No, we will actually. My mom will actually get a turkey. My dad will go to. I mean, I should say we're not kosher. We don't keep kosher.
Well,
so
neither do I.
Yeah. So my dad will go.
Most Chinese restaurants aren't kosher either, though.
True. At least the good ones.
Yeah.
My dad will go to Heavenly Ham and get a ham. And we'll we'll have a good old fashioned. Anti-Christmas romp, I guess. Not really anti-Christmas.
I'll be having some Kung Pao chicken.
Right on. My dad loves Kung Pao chicken, so he'll probably be having some, too.
Oh, he can, I'll have Kung Pao chicken with him.
Sweet. You two, like I said, you two got a lot of comment.
Yes.
So,
you said, so, yeah, I need to pick out which movie to see, though. Maybe Avatar, maybe Up in the Air.
Yeah, you can, you can decide on that.
Well, I will.
I'll let you handle the movie selection as well as the music selection right now.
So this is a song about what us Jews do. So this is a song about what us Jews do on Christmas, and it is called What We Do on Christmas. Hike!
It's waiting for me on the floor. It's one day of the year when I use my super duper powers are for. Hey, got introduced to a network at my bar mitzvah. Got my code name and number, it's 16761. While you're sitting around the tree and that knockoff menorah, your idol, and we work and justice is done. But Princess died, we killed her. El Nino, we made it. Reggie White is stupid. Billy Joel is traitor. Princess died, we killed her. El Nino, we made it. Reggie White, stupid. Billy Joel is traitor. And the neo-Nazis now were part of a conspiracy. And a tad stronger they think you'd think that they'd be nicer to me. Still mad about what happened to your pal Jesus. Well, we didn't die, Bruce seems to be going to hell with the rest of us. Princess died, we killed her. El Nino, we made it. Reggie White is stupid. Billy Joel is traitor. Princess died, we killed her. El Nino,
we made it.
Reggie White, he's stupid. Billy Joel. Wouldn't you like to know what we do, what we do, what we do on Christmas? Wouldn't you like to know what we do, what we do, what we do on Christmas? You think we're sitting around polishing our horns? What we do, what we do, what we do, what we do on Christmas? Making soup with the blood of the Christian born. What we do, what we do, what we do, what we do on Christmas? Do you think of that? I see.
Thank you. This is another cover song.
And that was the song What We Do on Christmas by Adam and His Package. You know, so just to clarify, if you zoned in and out there, there is no actual Jewish conspiracy. We're just going to the movies and eating Chinese food.
And there's no Harry Hanukkah.
Right. Hanukkah Harry.
Hanukkah Harry. Right. If there is.
There may be a guy named, you know, Harold Hanukkah.
If there is a Hanukkah Harry out there, call in.
Yes, the number is 410-455-2656.
Confirm your existence.
Yes. Okay, so, maybe. You know, we're coming up on the midway point here. I just wanted to give another shout-out, though, to the Comedy Death Ray calendar for 2010. I've had the last year's calendar up in my room most of this year. I think I actually got it in February, a little bit late. But, you know, I've had the 2009 Comedy Death Ray calendar up all year in my room, and it is a wonderful calendar. It's got all your favorite comedians, and if it doesn't have your favorite comedians, you've got the wrong favorite comedians. But no, it's got a bunch of wonderful comedians. It's got holidays, both real and fake, it comes with a CD. You know, this year it's coming with this multi-track CD with all kinds of artists like Sarah Silverman and, you know, as you heard earlier, it's got, you know, pretty much everyone on one song.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's got tons of great stuff. Last year came with, you know, sort of like a little EP. It was also pretty good. It was called Never Not Christmas. And so, actually, what we're going to do now for the halfway point is play that for you now. It features Jimmy Pardo and Scott Aukerman.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff indeed.
Hello.
Hey, hello.
Hi, are you the new butler?
I appreciate that. It's been a long time since I've been the new anything.
What happened to Hudson?
I think he's changing.
Well, he seems to do that a lot, doesn't he?
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, neither do I. Hey, I'm Scott Aukerman. I live down the road.
Oh.
Sir Percival lets me use his piano when he's not around. He's not around, is he?
You know, I can honestly say I have not seen him. But you know what, friend? Come on in. Come on.
Are you related to Sir Percival?
Very distantly.
Oh, wait. You're that poor relation from Chicago, right?
That's amusing. News travels fast, doesn't it? Yeah, I'm Jimmy.
Yes, pleased to meet you. To meet you.
Hi,
is
friend.
What I'm trying to say.
Yes.
I'm pleased to meet you as well.
People get nervous around me.
Yeah. You're the one that does the podcast, right?
Well, right or wrong, I do a podcast. That is correct, yes.
That's funny.
What do you do, friend?
Oh, well, I'm kind of a writer. I do a weekly comedy show at a small theater. I was nominated for an Emmy 10 years ago. It was a long time ago. But nowadays, I'm mainly a singer.
Is that right? What kind of singing?
Mostly contemporary stuff. Do you like modern music?
Oh, I think it's marvelous. Are you kidding me? Some of it's really fine. But tell me something, friend. Do you ever listen to some of the old fellas?
Oh, yeah. No, I like a lot of that stuff, like Justin Timberlake or T-Pain. I'm really into T-Pain.
Huh, you go that far back, do you?
Yeah, the auto-tune. I'm not as young as I look.
Who of us is?
That's a good point. In fact, I hang out with this 6-year-old boy who lives in the condo.
Pardon?
Well, hanging out is maybe strong. I see him from time to time. He delivers... He does...
The paper, I hope?
He delivers the paper. He does a little odd jobs.
Odd
for
jobs
me.
Around the house,
yes.
Like a big brother sort of a situation.
Yeah, anyway, I know him.
Uh-huh.
I barely know him.
Passing in the hallway
of
the condominium.
Sure, I'll see him every once in a while.
Sounds like a nice
and
young
one
man.
One thing I did learn in our many many conversations was that he really gets excited around the Christmas holiday thing.
All children do.
Sure.
Christmas is for children.
Yeah. Do you? Go in for anything of the traditional things in the Pardo household Christmas time?
Oh, from time to time, we sure do. We, the presents, the trees, the agent sliding down a chimney.
You know, that used to be my joke.
I know it was. You took my line,
yeah,
so then I took yours.
Well,
flip flop.
Anyway, our family does most of the things that other families do. We sing the same songs.
Mm-hmm.
I even have a go at White Christmas.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, and in this one. See this one right here?
I do.
You know that little boy I was mentioning?
The fellow from the condominium.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about him, but he did mention in one of our several long, lengthy conversations that we have all day and all night sometimes.
You have long conversations with him, but you don't know that much about him. What does he say?
Anyway, he did mention that this was his favorite song. Do you know this?
Oh, this came up?
Yeah.
I do know this. Yeah, this is a lovely thing.
Oh, okay. Well, let's have a go at it.
All right, very good.
Come, they told me, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. A newborn king to see, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Our finest gifts we bring, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum. Come. They told me, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum.
Can it be?
A
years
newborn
from
king
now,
to see,
perhaps we'll
pum.
See.
Our
see
finest
the
gifts
day
we bring,
of glory.
To
see
be
the
before
day
the king,
pa-rum-pum-pum. Live in peace, live in peace again.
So
he's
to
on
honor
earth.
Him, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, when we come. Every child must be made aware. Every child must be made to care. Care enough for his fellow man to give all the love that he can.
I pray my wish will come true.
I stood
for my child and your child too.
I
see the day of glory.
I pray my best for him.
When men of good will live in peace, live in peace again.
Then he smiled at me.
Can
and my drum. Can it be?
It's a pretty thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Jimmy, I don't know. It's Christmas Eve. I'm looking at the time, and the problem is I gotta go.
No, you can't go.
Why can't I go?
I'm telling you, it's just not a good idea for you to go.
I know, but I'd love for you to explain yourself just a little bit. I mean, my point is, I really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I really can't stay.
Hey, Scotty, it's cold outside.
I really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I cannot stay.
But I'm telling you, it's cold.
I really can't stay.
But Scotty, it's cold outside.
I really can't stay.
Scotty, it's so cold outside.
I really can't stay.
Oh, it's so cold.
It's cold. I really can't stay.
Outside.
I really can't stay.
But Scotty, it's cold outside.
I really can't stay.
Scott, I repeat, it's cold outside.
I really can't stay.
For the 15th time, I'm telling you, it's cold out of this house.
I really, really can't stay.
You gotta know.
But I really can't stay.
It's a really, really cold.
I really going.
I've been telling you, you can't go. It's cold outside.
Yeah, but I mean, to reiterate my point, it's I cannot stay.
I hear where you're coming from, but I'm warning you, you open up that door, you're going to get cold.
Maybe so. But I have one other point I want to make.
I'd like to hear it.
I really can't stay.
But Scotty, it's cold outside.
I really can't stay.
I'm telling you, friend, it's cold outside.
I really can't stay.
I'm telling you, it's cold.
I cannot stay.
But it's cold outside.
I really, really can't stay.
You gotta know it's cold.
I really, really can't stay.
C-O-L-D.
I really, 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 really can't stay.
Put a sweater on, it's gonna be.
I really can't stay. I really can't stay.
I repeat, it's cold outside.
Jimmy, I really can't stay.
All right, and so that was the Never Not Christmas album. You know, if you like that, you know, it is no longer available, but you ought to buy the Comedy Death Ray 2010 calendar at, I believe it's at astrecords.com.
Available in a calendar near you.
Right. You also probably go to podcast.com and check out the Never Not Funny podcast, which you do have to pay for the full length. I think they give away 20 minutes for free per week.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth the money. You know, I'm a video subscriber myself, so I get both the audio and video of them sitting around in a recording studio.
Fancy.
They've had wonderful guests on this season, like, you know, Jesse Thorne and Conan O'Brien was the most recent one.
Nice.
So, you know, definitely a thing worth doing. But, you know, it's kind of interesting because they were doing a whole, like, you know, Christmas special style thing where it's, you know, they're just hanging out and, oh, you know, surprise, someone's here.
Yeah, some fancy guest or whatever, just like.
Oh, what could that be?
Who could be at the door?
Oh, it's cold outside. Cold as sin, I would say.
Look, Evan.
It's our friend Max.
Hey, it's Max. What's going on, Max? I didn't know you were around.
Oh, you know me, just in the neighborhood, walking about, thinking about things.
Yeah?
Yeah, he does do that. That is him.
I've known you to think from time to time. How's the weather out there?
Cold as sin, Justin. Cold as sin. I kid you not, when I was walking on by, I saw two unsanctimonious penguins just waddling around.
What? Unsanctimonious, you say?
Unsanctimonious, Evan. Unsanctimonious.
That's a big word for you.
I'm a big word man, Justin.
You did pronounce it well. I will give you credit for that. Credit where credit is due.
Well, I don't know if you were aware of this, Max, but we're actually doing a radio show at the moment.
Well, I'll be pleased as punch if you let me join you.
I would also be pleased as punch.
I love punch.
And who doesn't? Punch is so good for you and low in calories.
That's
Well, I have a nice warm cup of punch right here that I might to enjoy while participating in this radio show.
This episode brought to you by Punch.
Yes. Punch. Now in Grapple.
And it is delicious flavor.
It really is great to have you on the show, Max, but we do have to continue with our normally scheduled proceedings. But
don't mind me.
But feel free to stick around with us. We got another song coming up, but after that, we got more, and feel free to stick around.
We love having guests.
Yes.
We also love music.
It doesn't feel too much like Christmas Eve here. The town is covered up in shades of gray. I've tried 1,000 times, but I can't leave here. Though all my former friends have gone away. All my plans here at my feet, now just snowflakes in the street. Trampled by the giants overhead. Down below me, that old river's flowing. Maybe I'd be better off dead. It's an angel watching, Betty's laughing, getting quite a kick from my despair. 'Cause an angel wouldn't let this crap all happen. That's why I'm pretty sure he isn't there. All it ever takes is just all unraveled from a single thread. Now I'm drunk and alone and that river's flowing. Maybe, just maybe, even though I'd miss you, baby, maybe I'd be better off dead.
And that was the song Better Off Dead, which was a fake Randy Newman theme for the movie It's a Wonderful Life. It was put out on the Pollen Storm's 25 Days of Randy Newman Advent podcast that they had out last year.
Yeah. I was hoping he was singing about my favorite John Cusack movie, but It's a Wonderful Life is pretty good, too.
We can pretend.
Christmas classic.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
The 25 Days of Randy Newman, I think that's when you know the holiday season is upon us.
Right.
Whenever Randy Newman is singing.
Right.
My Nana once told me a story.
Oh, did she?
Of Randy Newman rising in the mist whenever Christmas was abound. It was a wonderful time. She went mad, lead poisoning,
Quite mad, yeah.
Right.
So a lot of dentist patients went quite insane.
Was she a Mad Hatter?
No, Mad Teefer.
Okay.
Mad Teefer.
whatever that means.
But so as I did promise before that song, we do have more, and so here's the more.
Here's the more. So in the spirit of giving
yes.
for the holiday season, it's time for Yahoo Answers.
I would love to give some answers.
And the greatest gift of all, the gift that keeps on giving, which is knowledge.
Yes.
We're going to impart some knowledge.
Specifically my knowledge.
Right, which, you know, it is still, by definition, knowledge.
Yes.
It meets the legal standards of knowledge to be called knowledge.
Very thin ice. Meets or exceeds legal standards.
Speaking of knowledge, a handy nutritional fact about plunch. It contains 175% your daily value of zinc.
Golly gee!
That's why it tastes so zinc-erific.
New zinc-flavored punch.
Did you just mispronounce plunch?
Did you mispronounce plunch? Really? On that note, Yahoo Answers.
Yahoo Answers.
So, what holidays count for a child visitation order that says every other holiday in Virginia?
Well, that's pretty important that it's every other holiday in Virginia. Because it's a little-known fact that the state of Virginia actually only recognizes two holidays.
Really?
Yes, Christmas, of course, and Arbor Day. It's the one holdout on Arbor Day.
So that means in order to wage war on Arbor Day, we need to wage war on the state of Virginia?
Yes. Well, I've been working on that for years.
Subtly undermining them from...
Right. But so every other holiday in the state of Virginia, you pick Christmas or you pick Arbor Day, and you get that one holiday every year.
So, hopefully it's Christmas this year.
Yes. Yeah.
If your only chance to see your kids is on Arbor Day, that's pretty sad.
Yes.
To be fair, Evan, Arbor Day is celebrated much differently in Virginia than the rest of the country.
Oh, is it?
It is, Evan.
Why don't you tell it?
Well, Arbor Day in Virginia consists of many different activities. The first of which
you
is...
You have time for about two.
All right, I'll list two then. The first of which is destroying trees.
Okay.
And a little known fact about Arbor Day is, in Virginia, the chief killer of Virginians is falling trees.
Wasn't that the plot of the movie The Happening? Did that movie take place in Virginia?
Well, I'm pretty sure it did.
Okay.
Well, there you go. Which brings me to my second point, eating trees. So the traditional Arbor Day feast for Virginia is a nice big old chunk of pine.
So, next question.
Max, I hate to interrupt you, but I believe that you have Virginians confused with beavers.
Yeah. Oh, you did that again. You did that again. Yeah,
it is a common mistake.
Yes. But that's all right. Let's move on to the next question.
All right. Next question. Do you find yourself neglecting your baby during the holidays?
Absolutely. I mean, you know.
You neglectful bastard, but I should have, you know.
It's hard to show my baby appropriate attention because I don't have one.
Well, that's
I
just won't do at all.
I know. I'm a horrible father to the child that doesn't exist.
I'm going to call Child Protective Services and get them to take your non-existent child into custody.
I think you'll have to actually call the, ICP.
Oh?
Yes, the imaginary Child Protective Services.
Actually, you know who I'm just going to call?
Insane Cloud Posse?
Ghostbusters.
Okay, yeah.
Next question.
Okay.
How should I handle crazy people who come into my store during the holidays to pick fights, not to buy?
With love.
With love and fists.
Yeah.
Loving fists, you know, kiss them with your fists.
Oh, man, Loving Fists. I think I'm going to name my band Loving Fists.
I think that's our band that, you know, is going to be revered in the future.
That'll be Wild Stallion's...
Our version is Loving Fists.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was going to say maybe our first album.
Okay. Oh, yeah, well, maybe we'll turn it around, and the band will be Loving Fists, and the album will be Wild Stallion's.
Okay, I like the way you think.
Yes.
I like the way you think there. So, next question. Right. How can I convince my fiancé to wear a corset during the holidays without getting her upset?
Get her drunk.
I was going to say yes, get her drunk.
Well, for once, Max actually called it.
Yeah.
But, anything else on that?
No, that's it.
I mean, eventually she's going to sober up.
Well, the corset's already on.
So once the corset's on, it can't come off?
Well, if you lock it.
Is this one of those locking corsets?
I imagine. I mean, what kind of fool isn't going to use a locking corset when he's getting his girlfriend drunk?
A fool who's the guy who's a big enough fool to ask the people on Yahoo Answers.
Fair enough.
All right, next question. What are the advantages of canal boat holidays?
That is a wonderful question.
Oh, I know.
The advantages of canal boat holidays are that, unlike, say, riverboat holidays or, steamboat holidays, canal boat holidays, are just that much more wholesome. It's more fun for the whole family. You don't get these seedy undercurrents of, say, a kayak boat holiday.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real treat for the whole family. All ages enjoy them.
You know what the one disadvantage of canal boat holidays, though?
What?
Feral otters.
Yes.
Well, that's just a national treasure.
Wait, feral otters are a national treasure?
Little known national treasure.
Because in the movie National Treasure.
Right. That was on Nicolas Cage. I believe he was playing a feral otter.
Right. In his breakout role.
Yes.
As a feral otter.
Yes.
Final question.
Yes.
What can I do to receive free items from families in low-income housing for the holidays?
Rob them.
Are you advising people to rob low-income families?
Legally, no.
Legally, we cannot endorse such activities.
Because Very Thin Ice meets or exceeds legal standards,
right.
We do not endorse such activities as robbing low-income families.
You could always become the mayor of Baltimore.
There you go.
As I just said, we do not endorse such activities as robbing low-income families.
I don't know. Maybe he meant four.
No.
Maybe four families, but he said from, and I can only,
Yeah.
I can only take him at his word. Right. And from his word, I can only assume that he's the kind of dirtbag who, has a reverse Robin Hood complex.
Absolutely.
What would you steal from a low-income family that you couldn't steal from a middle-class family that wouldn't be 1,000 times better?
Spam?
Their pride. going back to the canal boat holidays, what's just as good as a canal boat holiday?
What's that?
A holiday in Cambodia.
Back east, your type don't crawl. Play ethnic-y jazz to parade your snaz on your 5 grand stereo. Bragging that you know how the brothers feel cold and the slums got so much soul. It's time to face what you most fear. Right guard will not help. Forget to pack a wife. Thank you. Pol Pot. It's a holiday in Cambodia where people dress in black. It's a holiday in Cambodia where you'll kiss Tush or crack. Merry Christmas, everybody. Thank you.
All right. That was, of course, Richard Cheese's 2006 cover of Holiday in Cambodia.
Instant
originally
classic.
By the Dead Kennedys, sung by Jello Biafra.
Yeah. Well, no one wants to hear from Dead Kennedys.
Right.
Anymore.
Except me. I like the Dead Kennedys.
As opposed to all those live Kennedys running around now.
Well, exactly.
If the live Kennedys put out some sort of musical group, maybe.
Maybe.
If there were a band consisting of living Kennedys.
Small band.
Speaking of music, though, let's talk. We got into it a bit earlier, but let's get into it a bit deeper now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wanted to
holiday
bring that.
Music.
Yeah, I wanted to bring that topic back because I was actually in band, all through middle and high school, in marching and concert band, and of course...
I did a bit of choir work myself.
Okay, so you
got some
background
pipes.
There. You got some pipes?
I got some pipes.
I had a trumpet, so...
Okay.
The cool thing about the trumpet was that...
There's a cool thing about the trumpet?
Oh, yeah, there's tons of cool things about the trumpet, man.
Okay.
Did you ever seen Dizzy Gillespie?
Louis Armstrong.
Louis Armstrong?
Pretty sure that Dizzy Gillespie and Louis Armstrong were the cool thing in that equation.
Oh, man. You know, you can't even touch either of those guys.
No, because they're not anywhere near me.
Yeah.
So go on. You played trumpet?
Right. I played trumpet since middle school. In high school, we every year we'd play Sleigh Ride, you know?
Okay.
And the cool thing about that for the trumpets, that there was a lot of cool, cool things about that song just because it had whip cracks.
Mm-hmm.
It had, it had sleigh bells, of course. It had a lot of neat instrumentation. But by far, the coolest thing about that song was that horse sound, that whinny or whatever that comes at the end of the song, done by the trumpeter.
Oh, cool.
So every year, I was hoping that I would get to be the trumpet player who would get to make the horse noise, and I never did.
Right.
So, I've just kind of got a shadow hanging over me to this day that I never got to do the horse noise.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Is that one of the reasons you never play trumpet anymore?
Exactly. That's why I don't touch my trumpet. I haven't touched my trumpet since high school.
Well, what if I told you that I had a trumpet here right now and it was your chance to play the horse noise?
Oh, boy, really?
No.
You bastard.
Sorry. What if I did tell you?
That's cold, Evan.
What if you told me? Then I would have that reaction that I just did.
Sounds great.
Except, next time it won't be because I'm on to you, so...
Yes.
I'm just going to assume you're going to crush my dreams again.
Only took you 9 episodes.
But yeah, we were talking about how we had the obligatory Hanukkah song.
Right.
On every concert.
The obligatory...
Obligatory.
You need some pounch to drown that down?
Did you say pounch?
Pounch?
Some pounch.
Pounch?
Pounch.
I feel like every time you open your mouth, it's a different word. Like you.
Why don't you say obligatory, Max?
Obligatory?
There we go.
All right.
So obligatory Hanukkah songs. That's the thing is, in these concerts, on the radio, etc., they're playing all this Christmas music. But then they're like, oh, well, we've got to be inclusive, let's play a Hanukkah song.
And
of course, the one Hanukkah song that they ever, in school, it's one thing. But, in general, on the radio, the one song that they ever play is Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song.
Yeah. And I mean...
it's such an awful song. It's not even about Hanukkah. It's just a list of people who are Jewish.
Oh, my God. Did you ever see the movie 8 Crazy Nights?
I avoided it.
I saw it.
Oh, my God. That was one of the biggest pieces of crap I've ever seen.
I'm not surprised.
I can't even, like... Just that's the worst. Just every time around this year, I'm reminded
it's basically
about that
the movie version of the Hanukkah song. In as much
that's the movie
that gets played on TV, so that they can feel like they're including Hanukkah.
Well, he got that movie because he made that song,
right?
And it was just, oh my God, it was just so terrible.
Well, the worst part is like there's 3 different versions of that song, and you can't tell them apart because it really is just all the same tune with different lists of Jewish names.
Yeah, I mean. Adam Sandler is just one of those people who, kind of makes me a little ashamed to be Jewish.
Well, Adam Sandler isn't all bad. I mean, Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, those were great movies. I know you're going to disagree with me on this, but I thought he was pretty good in Funny People.
I thought he was, like, the worst part of Funny People, to be honest.
You disagree with me. That's
right.
Fine.
We can agree to disagree.
But
I enjoyed his remake of Mr. Deeds.
I didn't.
It was okay. Whatever. Adam Sandler movies at this point are just...
I believe that he still has some talent. He just doesn't use it well these days.
He's also got about, 6 inches of excess skin on his face.
He was great on his episode of Undeclared.
Yeah?
Yeah. He and Judd Apatow were actually roommates way back when.
Really? Because Funny People was the first time I ever saw him do a...
Judd Apatow movie, sure. But he and Judd Apatow have been
friendly for a long time. Never watched Undeclared. I loved Freaks and Geeks. I just never got around to watching Undeclared.
In the movie Funny People, that footage of him, whatever they made up name for him was when he was like a young comedian, mm-hmm. Like the stuff that looked like candid footage, prank phone calls.
Right.
It was actually like him and Judd Apatow when they were roommates.
Huh. Did not know that.
Yeah.
That sort of doesn't make me dislike him any less, but it's neat to know.
But yeah. There really aren't many. As I've said, Hanukkah isn't that important a holiday, which is why there aren't that many good Hanukkah songs.
Well, that's why every concert, I'm like, please, I go to the band director, I'm like, please, can we not do a Hanukkah song? And every year, it's the same.
Or let me. Let the Jew pick the Hanukkah song.
Yeah, let the one Jew in the band pick the Hanukkah song.
You know, sing Rock of Ages or something. Like that. It's a traditional Hanukkah song that's, you know, it's very nice.
And Rock of Ages is awesome.
Yeah.
It's like one of Def Leppard's best songs.
Yeah, exactly.
If we could have played Rock of Ages on the holiday concert, I probably would have stayed in band my last year.
Yeah, you know, horse whinny or not.
Yeah, yeah, I know. But as it was, you know, never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Never got to play that, never got to do the horse whinny, and never got to feel like, you know, they weren't just patronizing me.
Well, they were just patronizing you.
It was also like, you know, we got Frederick County, when I was in 10th grade, started giving everybody the day off for high holidays, for, you know, Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. And, like, the entire school's coming up and, like, personally thanking me for getting them the day off. I forgot to mention that too, back when I was mentioning earlier how my mom would come in and we'd, you know, teach everyone about Hanukkah. The cool thing about that is that it meant throughout the rest of my school career, I was never, like, picked on for being Jewish. I was never, like, singled out or, you know, treated negatively. I was actually, like, it was kind of cool. Like, I was the Jewish kid. Like, I was the kid who gave them an hour off from classes and brought them free food and played dreidel with them.
I don't think that's the right way to be appreciated. But anyway, you know,
I'm still being singled out. It's true.
Getting back to, you know, the music.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just inundating. You know, you walk around in this holiday season, and it's everywhere. You know, you go, you turn on the radio. You can't turn on the radio.
I just don't. I don't.
Yeah. And, you know, you go shopping. It's blaring from all the, you know, speakers.
Yeah, and I mean, it just, they start playing it earlier and earlier every year with the, you know.
I think what we need is just to invent some new Hanukkah music. You know, like I said, Hanukkah's not that important, but we need to at least invent some Hanukkah music just so that, you know, there's something else to play.
Just so they got something more to choose from that's not Adam Sandler.
Mm-hmm. What we need is for Twisted Sister to do a Hanukkah song.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Because they did a Christmas song, and it was fucking metal. So they need to do a Hanukkah song.
You know what the next best thing would be?
What's that?
A song from Yidkor.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about here.
I've been to all these movies, I've got all these CDs, so I don't know the player, but I got all these DVDs, so now I'm left to wonder where I was and I went wrong, because I must have had a sound, let us do his song. Why? Oh, why? It's not that I am bitter, I just hope that it be so. But now he thinks that Adam cannot take a stupid joke. Why? Oh, why? Why won't Adam Sandler let us do his song? Why won't Adam Sandler let us do his song? We'll give you all our money. Even though I had to say a little Ricky was funny. Why won't Adam Sandler let us do his song? Why won't Adam Sandler let us do his song? Thanks to you, my Hanukkah was not much fun ago. Copyright that bitch!
All right, that was Why Won't Adam Sandler Let Us Do His Song by the band Yidkor. They're a Australian hardcore punk band that does Jewish-themed music and covers of Jewish music. And so they wrote that song in response when they requested to cover Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song and were told that they were not allowed to.
Honestly, my question is, why won't Adam Sandler let us not hear his song?
Yes. So, but let's move on to something I wanted to get back to. I said earlier that I always celebrated Hanukkah in a very traditional way growing up. Now, what that means is that, people always... Well, let me sit back a second. You know, people always talk about, you know, when you say, oh, I don't celebrate Christmas, you know, I'm Jewish, they say, oh, so you get 8 nights of presents. My response is no. I celebrate Hanukkah in the traditional manner. That means I get 3 nights of socks, and then my parents say, look, do we really need to do this? you know, so
We're a little more, you know, my parents are a little more enthusiastic about gift giving, but it's still basically like 7 nights of, for us, it was 7 nights of just really just, you know, minor gifts.
Right.
And then, you know, one kind of nice gift at the end.
Well, as I got older, that's what it turned into. somehow the three nights of socks were even too much for my parents. And so they turned around and were like, look, can we just get you like one Hanukkah gift? And I was like, sure. You know, I didn't think I was getting one beforehand. generally, as I mentioned earlier, both my brothers are born in December. So my parents decided, oh, let's combine, you know, Hanukkah and birthday gifts into one thing.
Oh, okay.
Which, you know, being born in October myself means, hey, you know, let's just forget Hanukkah gifts, which is fine because Hanukkah traditionally doesn't have anything to do with gifts.
No, it's you know,
it's
we
about
just
ten Nemanites.
Right. There you go. We're just kind of been forced to make it a commercial holiday just to, you know,
right.
So we don't feel left out of the shopping season.
So like I said, you know, when it comes to Hanukkah gifts, I don't really have anything memorable in my life. But you sounded like you were going somewhere with that.
I did. I did sound like that.
Yes,
before.
You did.
Now, yeah, like I said, so with us, it's like you know, my parents have a very exact system. Like they have a set budget for each kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like every, you know, I mean, my dad's a CPA, so like him and numbers is just like,
right.
You know, he's got everything tracked to the T. Like,
sure.
He keeps elaborate spreadsheets on everything he spends. So the gift-giving season, you know, Hanukkah shopping for my parents is, like, a full-scale operation. I mean, they've...
Right.
So they, like, all right, you've got... This is your deadline to have your list into us of what gifts you want, or else you're getting socks. So... because they're at least, you know, they'll at least ask us what they want.
That must be what goes on in my family, because we've never... You know, I have to say, you know, the concept of, you know, a list, completely alien to us. You know,
yeah, I know some.
I know that there's Jews that do that, but my family never was there a list.
Oh, well,
maybe that's why I get three nights of socks.
Right. I mean, because frankly, if you haven't figured out by now, your parents don't know you, folks. Your parents don't know you well enough to actually buy you gifts without you telling them.
That's the thing is, you know, it's not just, you know, oh, I never made a list. Had I given my parents a list, they would have laughed.
Well, to be fair, Evan, did you ever walk around barefoot all the time at your place?
Well, sure.
Did your parents feel that you had a need for socks?
I do have gigantic feet.
Were you constantly rubbing your feet going, it's so cold?
No. No, I was not.
Okay. My toesy-wosies. So the list becomes this this very important artifact in my family. And, my brothers and I, particularly my younger brother and I, get very, very creative with our lists. But sometimes, you know, we realize that there's kind of a trade-off you can have. You can ask for a bunch of things you kind of want, or one thing you really want, because there's basically an equivalency system where
okay.
A certain amount of gifts. If you want a really nice gift, that's fine. But you know, you're gonna have to trade in this many smaller gifts to get that.
Interesting.
But sometimes. The way my dad works is, I'll go ahead and say it on the air. You know, he's not. My dad's kind of. I'll be polite. He's frugal.
Sure, he's a Jewish accountant.
Yeah, there you go. Frugal to the extreme, except that with my dad, there are just random, spontaneous moments of generosity.
Okay.
Where he'll just suddenly decide to, you know, buy some really expensive thing. Without telling anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So the most notable story from my childhood was the year we got a PlayStation 2.
Oh yeah.
So we'd been asking, you know, for a PlayStation 2, my brothers and I, knowing that we weren't going to get it, because at that point, I don't know what the PlayStation 2 cost when it first came out, but at that point, it was still the kind of gift that was too expensive.
It was hundreds of dollars, and they were also very difficult to find. So, you know, chances were if you were buying one, you'd have to pay, you know, up over the price.
Yeah. So, so that year, you know,
it was not unheard of for somebody to spend $600 on a PlayStation 2.
Right. So, 7 nights go by, no PlayStation 2. At this point, we've already accepted that we're not going to get it.
Right.
So, 8th night, we're sitting, you know, we're sitting in the basement, and my dad's like slightly late from work, so my mom's like, "Well, we gotta wait around for your dad to get home before we can actually light the candles." And
you know that was always the worst, you know, especially when you don't think you're getting anything, because it's like, great, I have to sit around in anticipation of nothing.
Yeah, of what the oh great, you know, is because with us it's either you get the nice gift the first night or you get the nice gift the last night. But at this point we were just. Had already come to the conclusion that there wasn't going to be a nice gift.
Right.
No, I don't want to sound like, I realize I don't want to come off as like spoiler ungrateful. My parents.
Hey, you're not coming off as ungrateful. I think people understand that you're talking about, you know, your thoughts when you were a child. This is the way that children think. This is not, you know, adult Justin sitting here talking about, you know, how dare they do this. This is Justin channeling, you know, child Justin with, you know, just how you felt as a kid.
Right. And when I say nice gift, I don't mean like all the other gifts were crap. I just mean the one gift that you really, really wanted.
Right, right.
So.
The listener's with you.
Yeah. So we're sitting there and. The we hear the door just like slam open. My dad has a very Kramer style entrance, in that it's extremely loud and you can't miss it. Sure. So he comes in, we hear, you know, him put his stuff down, and suddenly he just starts shouting at us. Pardon the language here, just forewarning. He just starts shouting down the stairs, "You kids get your asses up here and clean up this fucking mess."
Uh-oh.
And we're like, oh, shit. Because my dad is a real, like, my dad, like, real neat freak about the house. Mm-hmm. And, like, it was, like, we had our chores. Like, we always got them done. So we were, like, we all three of us looked at us, like, what, we cleaned the house. We definitely did the chores, right? We definitely did the chores today. And, like, yeah. Like, oh, shit. This is not going to be good. It's, like, what did we miss? Like, did the dog get into something? And we run upstairs as he's still shouting at us. And there, splayed out on the carpet in the living room, is, like, a PlayStation 2, three games. I think there were Grand Theft Auto 3, Metal Gear Solid 3, and Gran Turismo 3. Or Metal Gear Solid 2.
I was going to say, Metal Gear Solid 3 was pretty cheap by then.
Yeah, I know. Metal Gear Solid 2 and Gran Turismo 3. Strategy guides for each game.
Of course.
Because my dad is the type of guy who actually, like, buys strategy guides with every game he gets.
I buy them on occasion, I'll admit.
Yeah. A year's subscription to Game Informer.
No comment.
Two controllers. One of those, like, DVD remote things for it. And it's just splayed out there on the living room, and we just stop in our tracks, you know. And it's, you know, that was, to me, the most memorable gift-giving experience I think we've ever had.
I think that's a gift-receiving experience.
Thank you, gift-receiving.
No memory card?
And there were memory cards, too. Just everything we needed to be in business. And, like, my dad knew nothing about the games that were out, but somehow he got, like, the three best games that were out at the time.
Right, right. I can tell you from the Game Informer subscription being there that somebody at a GameStop had a long conversation with them helping him pick
them up. Yeah. Particularly because he came home with the strategy guides, too.
Right. Well, especially the Game Informer.
Well, no, Justin, to be fair, you and your brothers aren't the sharpest knives in the bread box. So let's
you
just
keep knives in your bread box?
Well, you keep bread in the bread box, man.
Yeah, where do you keep your bread?
In the knife box.
Max.
If someone's going to steal my bread, they're getting a handful of knives.
Max,
But that's not the point. The point is,
you goofy bastard.
Justin, those are complicated games. And you're have the consistency of a 7-year-old.
The consistency of, like, texture-wise?
Yeah, texturally, you're like a 7-year-old.
Okay.
I can totally see the need for you to have those guides.
You know what, Max? I'll give you a minute to gather your thoughts here, and I'm going to play a little song for us.
Click.
That was Sarah Silverman's song, Give the Jew Girl Toys. It's off of the album Jesus is Magic, but it is also available on the what I've been mentioning all throughout the show, the Comedy Death Ray Christmas album that comes with the Comedy Death Ray 2010 calendar.
Buy their stuff.
Yeah, buy their stuff. You know,
who doesn't enjoy calendars?
We don't have any of our own stuff to plug, so let's plug stuff from other people whose music we've been stealing and playing.
Well, then the refreshing, delicious taste of plunch.
Oh, and plunch.
Plunch.
Yes. Yeah, so
it's a byproduct.
Yes. Okay. So we're at the end of our show here. The second to last episode on this season of Very Thin Ice. You know, I just want to thank everybody. Thanks, Justin, for, you know, doing this with me.
Thanks, Evan.
Thank you, Max, for stopping by.
No homo, but I love you guys.
All right.
Aw.
And I would also like to thank my parents for calling in with their candle lighting. So, all right, that's it. We're going to send you out here now on the Hanukkah song, but not just, you know, Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song.
No, folks.
This is Neil Diamond's cover of the Hanukkah song, so hope you enjoy it. And tune in next week for the final episode on this season of Very Thin Ice, a retrospective of the past season.
Happy Hanukkah, everyone.
Happy Hanukkah.
Merry Christmas.
There are so many beautiful Christmas songs around and so few Hanukkah songs. So I thought we'd try this one for you.
Put on your yarmulke, here comes Hanukkah. So much Hanukkah to celebrate Hanukkah, yeah. Hanukkah is the festival of lights. Instead of one day of presents, we have a crazy night. When you feel like the only kid in town without a Christmas tree, here's a list of people who are Jewish, just like you and me. David Lee Roth lights the menorah, so do James Conkirk Douglas and the late Dinah Shore. Guess who eats together at the Carnegie Deli? Bowser from Shanana and Arthur Fonzarelli. Paul Newman's half Jewish, Goldie Hawn is too. Put them both together, what a fine looking Jew. You don't have to deck the halls with jingle bell rock, cause you can spin a dreidel with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock. Both Jewish. Put on your yarmulke, comes Hanukkah. So much Hanukkah to celebrate Hanukkah. O.J. Simpson, not a Jew, but guess who is? Hall of Famer Rob Carew. We got Ann Landers and her sister dear Abby. Harrison Ford's a quarter Jewish, not too shabby. Some people think that Ebenezer Scrooge is. Well, he's not, but guess who is? All three Stooges. So many Jews are on my list. Tom Cruise isn't, but Jesus Christ is. Put on your yarmulke, here comes Hanukkah. So much Hanukkah to celebrate. Hanukkah, yeah. Hanukkah is the festival of lights. Instead of one day of presents, we have a crazy night. So tell your friend Veronica, it's time to celebrate Hanukkah. And don't forget a harmonica on this lovely, lovely Hanukkah.